Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. The most entertaining hour of your day is underway. Coming to you live on WKAR AM 870. 105.1 FM. It is current sports, and as you just heard from my main man, Chayo, I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a lot to get to. Breaking news that has the Michigan State basketball community in a stir. Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, longtime head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, is rumored to be of interest to the Orlando Magic. This is coming from Michael Scotto, coming from his Twitter page. Michael tweets, quote, the Orlando Magic have expressed interest in Michigan State coach Tom Izzo for the team's head coaching position, league sources have told The Athletic. Michael Scotto is an NBA staff writer for The Athletic and tweeted that out. It's been retweeted 288 times, liked 381 times. It's a big story. And, you know, since I posted it this morning, I've had some really interesting comments from the Michigan State men's basketball fan base. Some comments that have surprised me. I didn't expect some of the reactions that I got. I'll just put it that way. I'm going to read a few of those comments. I want to know your thoughts on this story. You know, I was chatting with engineer Ian Hawley, and Ian, you brought up, you know, we were chatting minutes before the hour started. You said to yourself, well, this is going to be a lot like the Cleveland Cavaliers situation, right? That happened back when I was in college, and it was rumored that the Cavs were interested in Tom Izzo, and we saw what happened with that, right? So
obviously did not pan out.
Exactly. It did not pan out. You know, he could have been coaching, you know, the arguably, well, no, I'm not going to say that because you'll never hear me say that LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time, but one of the greatest basketball players of all time, LeBron James. But, you know, Tom Izzo decided to stay. He's still looking for that second national championship here at Michigan State University. It was a very disappointing year last year. I'm going to make a point concerning this coaching rumor that's out there and the Orlando Magic being interested in Tom Izzo. And I'm going to say something that may surprise a few folks. All right. So stay tuned for my take on that. I'll read a few comments from you all because, again, the comments that I'm getting are a bit surprising. So that'll lead the hour after our headliners. And as promised, you know what happened yesterday? We had a few technical difficulties and we're not able to get her on. But today we have her slated for segment B, Miss Tori Franklin, former Michigan State track and field triple jump phenom, who has just broken a United States world record earlier this month. We'll chat with Tori about that accomplishment and how she has her eyes set on the Olympics. And then on the back end of the show, we will hop into our current sports time machine like we do on each and every Thursday edition of Current Sports. Hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We dub it Throwback Thursday. So much to get to. Our plate runneth over throughout this hour here on Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the hour, 517 517- 515-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Also, watch the live stream if you want to see this handsome face. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News or tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Yesterday, the National Football League has decided to implement a national anthem policy. Anybody who decides to sit or kneel during the national anthem will be fined and penalized by the respective team and the league. You can choose not to go out and stay in the locker room during the national anthem if you do decide to protest. But I just think this is an absolutely ridiculous story. That was the foundation of yesterday's current sports. And, you know, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, since announcing that new policy requiring players and personnel to stand for the national anthem, there's been a lot of criticism, a lot of uproar for the rule and against it. Now, the new policy does not give the players the option to remain, does give the players the option to remain in the locker room, as I noted, during the playing of the anthem if they do not wish to comply. Donald Trump has alluded to, you know, the NFL protesters maybe not being in the U.S. if they decide to protest. Check this out. I believe we have a bite queued up.
I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country.
Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. Again, that's coming from the mouth of President Donald Trump. All right, as I noted, the Orlando Magic have shown interest in Tom Izzo. Sources have told The Athletic. Izzo has been a target for NBA teams in the past, most notably the Cleveland Cavaliers back in 2015. The Orlando Magic are also considering Hornets, Charlotte Hornets coach Steve Clifford, and Houston coach Kelvin Sampson. We'll have reaction on that story in just a moment. The eighth-seeded Michigan State baseball team gave the top-seeded Minnesota Golden Gophers all they could possibly handle, but still came up short with a 3-2 loss yesterday in Omaha, Nebraska. First baseman Zach McGuire tallied both runs for MSU. The Spartans, now 20-31 on the season, will take fifth-seeded Indiana on Thursday. Take on fifth-seeded Indiana today at 2 p.m. So as soon as we get off the air, that game will go underway in an elimination game. The Hoosiers lost to fourth-seeded Illinois 7-1 in yesterday's final game. Also, I want to send a big congratulations to the Williamston Hornets and also Fowlerville on winning Wednesday's Diamond Classic slate. I have an updated picture when it comes to the Diamond Classic for you all later on this hour. Moving on to professional baseball, the Detroit Tigers closed out their three-game series against the Minnesota Twins with a 4-1 win, ending their five-game losing streak. Thank goodness, right? Nico Goodrum, he delivered a two-run line drive homer that would eventually turn out to be the game winner. The Tigers are now 21-28 on the season and remain two games behind the Minnesota Twins in the American League Central standings. They sit now four games behind the AL Central Division leader, Cleveland Indians. This morning, the Detroit Pistons decided to hire Ed Stefanski, former Memphis Grizzlies exec, as a senior advisor in the franchise's basketball operations. This is a statement Quote, I'm going to give advice to our owner, Tom Gorsigan. This is Ed Stefanski being quoted here. Quote, on how we are going to structure things going forward. The big thing right now, though, is that we need a head coach and a GM. Those will be two items that we will probably do simultaneously, end quote. Now, he also states that he will go after former Toronto Raptors coach. I like this move, Dwayne Casey, right away. Stefanski was a part of a Raptors front office along with Brian Colangelo that hired Casey back in 2011. So there is a connection to Casey there when it comes to Stefanski. All right, yesterday we saw the Cleveland Cavaliers fall to the Boston Celtics in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. Boston now leads that series 3-2 as things now shift. Back to Cleveland, the Celtics stay undefeated at home, 10-0 at home this postseason. After rolling through the Cavs last night, young stars Jason Tatum, 24 points for him. Jaylen Brown had 17. LeBron James and Kevin Love combined for 40 of the 83 total points the Cavs scored. The King, one loss away from being eliminated out of the NBA playoffs for the first time since 2010, and the NBA Finals for the first time since 2010, I should say, right before he took his talents to South Beach. And how about this news? The Washington Capitals dominated the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-0 in Tampa as they move on to face the Cinderella story that is the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals. Alex Ovechkin notched the first goal, and Andre Burakovsky tallied two goals in the second period, followed by an empty netter late in the third. Braden Holtby was a brick wall, stopping all 29 shots and recording his second straight shutout. We have a bite queued up there as well.
And Backstrom taps it home. And if there was any doubt, and I'm not really sure there was, it's 4-0. The Washington Capitals are Eastern Conference champions.
How about that? That was the final open net goal for the Caps. And, of course, the announcer announcing that the Washington Capitals are now heading to the Stanley Cup Finals. Exciting stuff. All right. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, watch us via the Facebook live stream, which you can view at facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. All right, just got to make sure you guys are safe out there. Apologies for the emergency test, just making sure it works. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. If you are just now joining us here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM, welcome to the party. I'm going to dive right into it and off top address the rumor that is the Orlando Magic reportedly interested in the possible acquisition of Tom Izzo as their next head coach. Interesting stuff, right? So, you know, I posted this about 2 hours ago when I saw it, you know, flash on my phone via Bleacher Report. And I said, okay, my first thought, you know, when the story came up, I said, all right, here we go again. You know, another team interested in Tom Izzo. It hasn't panned out in the past. Why would it pan out now? You know, we just had this conversation not too long ago when discussing the Detroit Pistons looking for a new head coach after letting go Stan Van Gundy. Tom Gores and Stan Van Gundy deciding to part ways. You're hurting our headliners again that they have now hired Stefanski, who comes from the Grizzlies. Ed Stefanski, former Grizzlies executive. He will be a senior advisor in the franchise's basketball operations, because I think this is a good move, because I think that Tom Gores needs all the help he can get. But we, you know, that's also in the rumor mill, possibly Tom Izzo, right? Targeted by the Detroit Pistons. I don't think he'll go there. We actually had James Edwards III of The Athletic. The Athletic is reporting today that the same publication reporting today that the Orlando Magic are interested in Tom Izzo, but we had James Edwards III on not too long ago, who is a Detroit Pistons beat writer for The Athletic, and I asked him, you know, if you could, you know, peg a percentage chance of Tom Izzo deciding to coach the Detroit Pistons, and he said something like, I think it was like 0.3%, something like that. So I don't think he's going to the Detroit Pistons. That is an organization that certainly needs a rebuild. I think the Orlando Magic are more on track than the Detroit Pistons, if you ask me, especially when looking at, a lot of people forget, the Orlando Magic started the season really, really well this year. And then, you know, I always say in the NBA, the cream eventually rises to the top, and, you know, teams become who we think they are, right? They are who we thought they were. So that usually happens in the NBA. But I think that the Orlando Magic, you know, have some interesting pieces there. I don't know how Tom Izzo feels right now, because I'm not Tom Izzo. You know, all we can do now when reading this story is speculate. And all we can do in reading this story is give our own thoughts as to what we think Tom Izzo should do. He doesn't care what we think. He really doesn't. You know, I highly doubt that Tom Izzo is tuning in right now trying to figure out what the Spartan Nation think I should do here. No, that's not happening. I'm not Tom Izzo. I haven't talked to Tom Izzo about this, you know, and Tom is, as frankly, he's barely talked since the elimination, that second round elimination down at LCA at the hands of the Syracuse Orange. All right. We don't know what he's going to do. I will say this. Let me just read a few of the comments that I got after posting this on my Instagram page, because there are a lot of Spartan fans out there that are still upset at how things panned out in the final minutes of that Michigan State and Syracuse NCAA tourney round two matchup. So a lot of salty Michigan State fans out there. This is one comment. This is the second comment of the post. Good riddance. Yeah, I couldn't believe that one. And I do know who this follower of mine is, and I remember when Michigan State got eliminated to Syracuse, just up in arms, as you can imagine, about the whole Ben Carter and Jaren Jackson Jr. situation. The next comment I want to read, this would be the perfect time to dip. Dip meaning leave, for those who don't know what dip means. Or at least one more season. Here's another comment. He should go! Exclamation mark. Here's another comment. Don't be surprised if he bolts. So, I expected to at least, you know, Ian, get one or two comments, you know, much to the like of your sentiments before we hit the show. No, Izzo, you're making me sad, Al. Don't make me sad with this news. You know, he's not going to go. Tom Izzo all the way. And, you know, and I did, you know, to be fair, on my Facebook page, I just read some of the Instagram comments. On my Facebook page, you know, there was a comment there from Ben, one of our dear listeners. Ben said, Izzo is not going anywhere. He is here for life. So there is, you know, I just can't read. I really can't read you know, the pulse of the Michigan State men's basketball fan base right now. When I put my finger on that pulse, I don't know. I just don't know how Michigan State fans feel right now, because I know you're upset at what happened last year. You know, we really hyped it up here on Current Sports too, because I still believe that from top to bottom, when looking at that roster, that was the most talented roster in the Tom Izzo era. Just talent-wise. Most talented roster in the Tom Izzo era. And now looking at next season, I mean, they're going to lose their top two players in Jaren Jackson Jr. He'll be a lottery pick. He'll be a top five pick. Miles Bridges is going to be just outside of the lottery picks looking in, but he's going to go top 20, top 15 even. So your top two players leave. Possibly your top three, because, again, we still don't know what Nick Ward's going to do, right? You know, Nick Ward, you know, he's been working out for other teams out there. We're going to know soon, possibly, you know, next week, because the May 30th deadline is approaching very, very soon. You know, less than a week away now. May 30th or May 31st deadline around there. We'll know by next week what Nick Ward's going to do, because, you know, even though he put his name in the hat of the NBA draft, you know, he still hasn't hired an agent. So technically before that deadline, he can still say, all right, I'm not feeling where I'm being projected. I'm going to come back at least for one more season under the leadership of Tom Izzo. Now, when it comes to Tom, I mean, this was a really challenging year. I haven't seen Tom Izzo deal with a year like this ever, because, it was such a sensitive time here at Michigan State University, and still is, I might add as well. Because of the whole the Larry Nassar case and trial and the victim impact statements playing out. And then on top of that, you had the ESPN report by Paula Levine that aired on Outside the Lines with Bob Lee. And you know, it was titled The Crisis at Michigan State. And then it detailed allegations of possible mishandling when it came to sexual assault situations with Tom Izzo's former players and Keith Appling and Adrian Payne. It showed Adrian Payne in the interrogation room talking about what went down in the dorm room. That didn't look good. And then it went from there to talk about Mark D'Antonio and the football program and how many allegations there have been and were they handled properly. When that story came out, you know, in combination with the whole Larry Nassar situation, it just added more fuel to the fire. You know, in many ways, the press conferences started to become more entertaining than the games themselves when talking about Michigan State men's basketball. We were waiting to see what kind of interaction Tom Izzo would have with an ESPN reporter who is trying to get to the bottom of, Tom, did you handle those situations the right way? What do you know? Is there any comment that you want to have concerning it? And Tom Izzo just looked flustered, man. He looked frustrated. He looked flustered, because you can tell. I mean, Tom Izzo never bites his tongue. But he knew that in this instance, you know, the sensitivity of it and the legality of it, he didn't want to come out and say something that would you know, implicate him or the program in some kind of controversy, right? So you could tell he wanted to say something, you know, just sitting there gripping the sides of that podium like, I'm not going to make a comment right now. So then his players, who have nothing to do with this, have to go out there game after game after game and deal with that off-court drama. Try and put that off-court drama in the back of their minds and go out there and play a basketball game. I'm pretty sure that had maybe something to do with, you know, the end of the season, maybe. I mean, that's tough to do when you got all eyes on you, all negative eyes on you, when you haven't done anything wrong. I mean, how do you go out there and play a basketball game, especially when you're a kid in college? So, you know, and Tom trying to deal with that, it weighed on him. I really do believe it weighed on him. And then the second round loss to Syracuse and the criticism that he still is getting to this day when it comes to that. Michigan State men's basketball fans, a lot of them, I'm not saying all, are still salty about that, are still saying that, you know, and Ian is raising his hand behind the glass like, yeah, one of those is you, right, Ian?
I'm indeed one of those people.
Yeah.
And I will be for a while.
You're still haunted by it. I mean, because, you know, we were sitting courtside, we were covering that game and watching that unfold. and, you know, Jim Boeheim came up next to us, and he's, you know, rooting on, you know, Mike, because Mike Tirico is sitting in back of us, Dave Bing, they're Syracuse alum, and he's rooting on Syracuse Orange for knocking off the Spartans, right? One of the favorites of the tournament. That was tough. That was tough, you know, especially when you look at the decision with Ben Carter and Jaren Jackson Jr. And then this week, you know, earlier this week, you know, we touched on it yesterday. Romeo Weems, 4-star recruit, who a lot of folks thought was going to take his talents to East Lansing, help out this program. You know, he's a 2019 recruit. He's a beast. You know, a lot of Spartan fans thought he was leaning towards Michigan State, and he decides to go to DePaul, further adding fuel to the fire. So with that said, with all that drama taking place, with all the drama unfolding this past year and the criticism that he's been getting, and losing out on Romeo Weems, how much can a man take? I asked that question, Ian. I mean, how much can – I don't know how I would have dealt with that situation as Tom Izzo. Only Tom Izzo knows, but you better believe it was stressful. You know, I'm pretty sure he lost some sleep about this, without a doubt. So, you know, and I go back to one of the comments that said that, you know, why not now, basically. You know, one of those comments basically saying, you know, don't be surprised if he bolts. One of my followers saying this would be the perfect time to dip, or at least maybe coach one more season, but the perfect time to dip because there's so much drama happening here. Does Tom Izzo just want to get away from it all and say, you know what, I've always had an interest in coaching in the NBA. Why not try it? Because right now it's just stressful. It's just stressful. Now, there's a different kind of stress that happens in the NBA as a head coach, and that's a whole other conversation, right? But, you know, I just wonder if Tom Izzo is sitting there saying, you know, I just want to get away, man. I just want to get away. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, what are your thoughts on this story? What are your thoughts on what I had to say, man? How are you digesting this?
See, I personally think this would be the worst time for Tom Izzo to leave. I mean, with all of the character questions surrounding him and his program, I think if he leaves now, it makes, you know, in the court of public opinion, it would make him seem more guilty than before. And he's already stayed silent about so many of these issues up until now. And then if he leaves without, you know, giving any comments or anything like that, then you're always left wondering, you know, what really went on with Tom Izzo's Michigan State program. So I think in his own personal interest, it would be better to stay. And I do remember when he left Cleveland or when he was thinking about leaving for Cleveland. He said eventually, I'm a Spartan for life. This is where I'll retire. So personally, I don't think Tom will leave. I hope he doesn't leave for his own sake. But at the same time, you know, coaching in the NBA is a great opportunity for anybody. So mm-hmm. If he does leave, I won't be that upset.
A few comments coming in here, Ian. There's a lot of comments coming in our Facebook page right now. I'm trying to sift through a few of them. Remy says, doubt he leaves, but if he does, can you blame him? You know, as I scroll up, you know, we're getting some comments from Ben here, Chris here. Joseph comments when you know, he follows up with Remy's comment and says, Remy, no, I don't blame him because he has to do what's best for him and his family. Ben says, Izzo is not going anywhere. Chris says, Izzo not going to the Magic. Then as I scroll up here, there was one interesting comment here, coming from Rob. Rob says, hasn't Izzo's time passed? It's a different game today. Recruiting and strategy are no longer strengths. That's an interesting comment, Ian, because I tell you what, in the barbershops around the area, I've had this conversation one or two times, you know, whether or not the game has passed Tom Izzo, whether or not he still has a stamp on the recruiting war, right? What do you think as far as Tom Izzo's strategy and how he approaches the game? Because I don't believe that. I think Tom's a great coach. I think that Tom is very stubborn at times, and his adjustments are questionable at times. And, you know, there are certainly, you know, when I'm watching the Michigan State game, sometimes I'm sitting there saying, Tom, why don't you try this? You know, mixing it up a little bit. But he's married to that old school basketball mentality, and I do think that hurts Michigan State sometimes. But I don't think the game is past him. And also, I don't know. I made this point multiple times too. I don't know how successful Tom Izzo would be at the NBA level. It's a different game because you're dealing with different personalities. Tom Izzo is a yeller. I don't think that a lot of pros respond great to a yeller in the NBA.
Yeah, especially the all-stars or the superstar caliber players. It would be very interesting to see, you know, a 5 foot, however tall he is, Tom Izzo screaming at, you know, someone like Boogie Cousins and seeing how he would respond. Yeah, there would be no communication there whatsoever.
Exactly. He'll just turn down the hearing aid, right? That's it. You know, it's done. You know, there's a lot of angles here to look at. But I think, you know, just looking at the story, I think the Tom Izzo staying. Also, that's a good point you bring up too, Ian, because if he did leave, perception-wise, it makes it look like you're just running away from the problem or you're just running away from the controversy instead of just manning up and just dealing with it, right? But it's an interesting question on multiple levels. I'm curious to get your thoughts. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Keep those comments rolling in at facebook.com/WKAR News. And again, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Let's hit it. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Thursday to you all. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up segment A discussing the Orlando Magic, according to The Athletic, reportedly are interested in Tom Izzo. Izzo has been a target for NBA teams in the past. The Magic, again, on the rumor mill, again, according to The Athletic, have expressed interest in the Michigan State head coach. So right now we actually have on our Twitter page at WKAR_sports, our outstanding PA Connor has actually put up a poll, and the poll reads, where will Tom Izzo coach next season? And the two options are, of course, Michigan State and the Orlando Magic. Connor, how does that poll read right now? What's the response you've been getting?
All right, so we got 24 votes, and we got 71% for Michigan State and 29% for the Orlando Magic.
So 24 votes right now. 71% of those votes say that Tom Izzo will be coaching at Michigan State next season. 29% say the Orlando Magic. I must say, I'm a little bit surprised that almost 30% say that they're going to be coaching at the Orlando Magic, Connor. That is very interesting to me. I thought it would be like 100-0. Michigan State all the way. So I don't know. That's an interesting poll. Again, you can vote. Just simply go to our Twitter page at WKAR_sports. Really appreciate that, Connor. Before we bring on our guest for today's Current Sports, just briefly, I want to get to one of our callers here. Jason is on line one. Jason, you are on Current Sports.
What's going on, my brother?
Always good chatting with you, man. What's up? What do you think of this old Tom Izzo Orlando Magic stuff?
Well, I remember the day when, Cleveland was courting Tom, and Tom flat out said, hey, I'm a Spartan for life. So Tom's going to be back. I have no thought in my mind that he's going to be leaving us, and especially with the recruits that he's got coming in, and Foster Lawyer and the other couple. So I'm not really worried about that at all. No, but I was calling because you know my endeavor that I do every year over Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, on the links, right?
Yes, on the links with the Folds of Honor Foundation. Right. Well, as I spoke to you earlier this year, I did receive the formal invitation from Major Dan Rooney, the founder of the Folds of Honor Foundation, and I am headed out tomorrow out to Tulsa, Oklahoma for the Folds of Honor National Gala and Patriot Cup Invitational.
That is amazing. I know you got to be so excited, Jason. Have you been practicing? You got to be have to be at least playing at least three rounds every week in preparation for this, right?
I've been out as much as I can. I was just the last 4 days I was out in Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I was up in Camp Grayling for some training. So didn't get a chance to get out and play there, but definitely going to play a round tomorrow and get the clubs cleaned off and ready to go.
That's great stuff. And happy Memorial Day weekend to you, Jason, if I don't talk with you before the weekend begins. And good luck out there, my friend. Well, I'm actually planning on playing a few rounds myself this weekend.
And if, I mean, I don't know if you're going to have a show on Monday at all.
We plan on it. Yeah, we plan on it.
Okay, well, I will try and see, depending on who my playing partner is while out there in Tulsa. There are some big names that are going to be out there with us. We got the big drunken long hitter from years past in the PGA, who's now cleaned his act up. Mr. John Daly's going to be out there.
John Daly? Are you going to be playing with John Daly?
I don't know if I'm going to play with John Daly,
Whoa.
But if I am, I'm going to let him drive everything, and I'll just chip and putt, and we'll be good to go.
That's Mr. hit him long, hit him straight right there, man. I love John Daly.
And then we also have Gary Woodland coming out, and there's going to be a few other PGA pros that are going to be out there, but also stand-up comedian and television comedian Rob Riggle is going to be out there.
Wow. How about that? I'm curious if Rob can ball on the links.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. As tall as he is, he might have to have some irons that are the length of yours and my driver's, you know?
Right, exactly.
But so yeah, it's gonna be a great time going out there, and they also have country musician John Rich from Big and Rich is gonna be out there playing a concert for us after the gala.
Right.
He's also gonna be playing some golf. In the past, Larry the Cable Guy's been out there. Brandon Whedon's been out there. A couple NFL players, other NFL players have been out there over the years. So
right.
we'll just see what happens. It's going to be amazing.
That's great stuff. Well, I tell you what, keep us posted, Jason, and we'll see if we can get you on. And we'll definitely have you on after things are said and done in that tournament, because I'm curious to see how you played, my man. But good luck, all right? We'll be
all
in
right,
touch.
Brother. Sounds good. And it's in a Ryder Cup-style format, and there's going to be two teams. We're going to play Ryder Cup-style format, so one way or another, I'm going to be bringing something home.
That sounds incredibly fun. Yep. Have fun, Jason.
All right, brother. Have a great one. Be easy over the weekend.
Always, always. And, yeah, I don't think my game, Ian, is that good. To be playing with the likes of John Daly? Nah, I mean, even though John Daly, he's seasoned now. I don't like to use the word old. He's seasoned now, and he's not the guy he used to be. I love him, though, but still, the dude is a former professional golfer. He still is a professional golfer, right? He did that for a living. That's another level.
The real question is, how is your trouser game? Because you really have to step it up with John Daly.
John Daly, he's fly out there, as far as his dress. You should see Jason's dress code. When he's out there, man, he's very loud with his dress code. I'll just put it that way.
Knows he's there?
Everybody knows he's there. You can spot him for if you're on the 18th hole, man, you can spot him on the first, So shout out to Jason, though. That's my guy, and the Folds of Honor Foundation has been doing some amazing things. I actually saw the Folds of Honor Foundation randomly on a Budweiser commercial. So it's growing and growing every single year, and it's for a great cause. We salute all of our vets out there and those who are fighting for our nation. All right. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. We finally got her. I'm excited about this. She has been waiting patiently now for 48 hours, basically. And we've got her here on WKAR's Current Sports. I sat down one time with her for Current Sports TV back in the day. She was one of my favorite guests. She's so humble. But when I tell you what, when she's on the track and field, she's like transform. And she does transform, because she actually has an alter ego when she's out there competing, which, of course, she'll talk about in just a moment. But get this. The reason why I'm having Tori Franklin on is because she has absolutely crushed a U.S. triple jump record. All right. There are breakthroughs, and then there are performances that are completely level expectations, just completely level expectations. And, earlier this month, Tori Franklin, she enjoyed the latter with that. Amid an incredible series that contained five personal best efforts over, 14.50 meters, Franklin broke the American record in the triple jump and set a new 2018 world lead with a massive 14.84 meter leap at a meet earlier this month. To talk about that incredible record-breaking performance, we have former Michigan State track and field phenom, Tori Franklin. Tori, how you doing? Is Story there? Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me that Lightning is striking twice now. Ian is literally losing his mind behind the glass right now. We got to have Torreon. I can't believe this is happening now 2 days in a row. Folks, it's not me. I'm trying here. Tori Franklin, we've been trying to get her on since yesterday. Ian Hawley is killing me right now behind the glass. We're going to shoot Tori back a call because I got a lot to pick her brain about, you know, since yesterday. Ian, you're killing me, Smalls. You are killing me, yo. So I'm going to tap dance here a bit. And again, I'll just expound a bit about this incredible series that you had. Again, as I just mentioned, I mean, five personal best efforts over 14.50 meters. And she just an amazing record here. And I just saw this blowing up on social media. Many people were retweeting it. And, you know, now, I mean, she has her eyes set, I know, on the Olympics. And you better believe that is certainly going to put her in the conversation. All right. Ian, how we looking? Do we have her? Give me a thumbs up. We do have. All right. One more time. You heard the intro. She now needs no more introductions. Tori Franklin, please say hello.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness. My heart was about to explode if I did not hear your voice on the other line just now. Tori, we finally got you. You've been dodging us.
I am here.
Tori, I just mentioned, you know, the U.S. record, I should say, that mm-hmm. you set earlier this month. And I have to know, you know, when we talk about a record like that, what goes into the preparation? Is that something you've been eyeing for a long time, or is it just something that just kind of happened?
Oh, no, definitely something I've been eyeing forever. Mm-hmm. I must say, though, I did not know it would happen when it did. I wasn't going for the record at this time. I was just really looking for consistency and just to execute, really.
What has gone into
kind of happened?
So it just kind of happened. I mean, the preparation for something like this, and again, you have your eyes set on the Olympics, and I know that the training regimen has to be just nonstop every single day, eating right, staying in the gym, working on your craft. When did you know you were close to doing something special like this?
I guess it really didn't hit me that this was something possible within the next couple years until I competed at Texas Relays. I had just broken 14 meters last summer, and just to do that was something that was great, and I was like, yes, finally. And then at Texas, I jumped 14:48, giving me the second best all-time mark in American history, and I was like, whoa, this is really coming along. Who would have thunk it?
Right.
So that was when I was like, this is something that I can accomplish sooner than later.
What has gone into that improvement? Is it a new coach that you've hired, or is it, you know, just maybe your training regimen? I mean, what has gone into making improvements like this where you are crushing a U.S. triple jump record?
I think there's a few things that come into play. One, yes, I have switched coaches, and we're going into – this is our second year together. And when you switch coaches, there's always an adjustment period. And so it kind of makes sense that I'm improving on the second year. So that's one thing. Another is I have changed up my eating regimen. So, yes. And thirdly, I think maturity, being more focused and focusing on my mental and physical, emotional, spiritual well-being has also come into play as well.
So I got two follow-ups to that. First, when it comes to your eating, what does your diet look like on a daily basis?
On a daily basis. So for breakfast, I usually make a fruit smoothie with, like, berries and bananas, and oats, yogurt, almond milk, things like that. And I'll have two eggs probably with some vegetables in it. Lunch, you know, I'll eat, like, a veg burger. Really, I don't eat very much meat. Mm-hmm. If I eat it once a day, it'll probably be chicken. And then maybe I'll have a burger every couple of weeks just because I like burgers.
Who doesn't, right?
Yeah, but 90% of my diet is leafy greens and fruit.
And who have you leaned on when it comes to that diet? Is it your trainer who has come in? And again, you mentioned how, you know, you start to see those improvements in year two as that chemistry built over time. But is it him who has you on that strict diet?
Not at all.
This is all you.
Yeah, this is me, something that I just have been doing research on and something that makes me feel good. Originally, I think I started doing it because I liked how it physically made me look and feel. And then it just, when I was doing it more, coming into competitions and how I was performing, I was like, hey, this might have some type of legitimacy to it, you know?
Right.
Yes.
Who's your coach and what was it like in that year one adjusting to his or her style?
Mm-hmm. His name is Andreas Pavlou. Mm-hmm. He is a Greek coach, and we have one other person I train with, and then we have a new one coming in next year that I'm excited about. But adjusting was a little difficult because we didn't have to change too much of my technique, but my run was just awful. Like, he would say I used to run like a duck. yeah, so that took a long time. That took longer than he thought. And so for a minute, he didn't think I was ever going to get it. It took like 8 months maybe for me to start seeing improvement, and then until Worlds, or when we went to Greece, when it actually started to like show in my jumps and in my practices and things like that.
And
it was kind of hard.
Oh, I'm sure, because anytime you switch coach, we had this conversation not too long ago when it comes to Clarissa Shields, who is the number one female boxer in the world right now, and she has made a training change when it comes to switching from her trainer, her longtime trainer, when she first started boxing with Jason Crutchfield, and the adjustment period that really had on her. And it took a while. It takes a minute to develop that chemistry. When it comes to your coach, Tori, what's his background?
So he was a triple jumper himself. He wouldn't say that he was a great triple jumper, but he coached himself and he learned from three other coaches. So he always says that three heads are better than one. And he's trained a couple long jumpers, a few triple jumpers. My training partner is Troy Doris. He's an Olympian for Guyana. Mm-hmm. That my coach helped him get to that stage. And then me.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with former MSU track and field triple jump phenom Tori Franklin. And Tori, while you were at Michigan State, I mean, you had collegiate best in many different events, the 200 meter, the 400 meter, the high jump, long jump, triple jump, where you set an MSU record. And you mentioned that, you know, maturity over time. If you could, you know, look back at your time here at Michigan State University and where you are now, in what ways specifically have you matured? If you could talk to that younger self, what would you tell that younger self?
I would tell my younger self not to give my time to people that were going to drain my energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened in college is that I went through a lot emotionally, and so I was never really at 100% in that sense, and that affected me on the track.
Totally. And now, you know, you talk about the eyes are now in the Olympics, right? That's been the dream and the goal. That's what we talked about a lot when you were on Current Sports TV, right?
Yep.
So, you know, when competing for the Olympics, I know a lot of it is trying to get endorsements because, you know, you got to have some kind of money in your pocket. What's the life of an aspiring Olympian for you? Is it track and field 24/7, 365?
Pretty much. I mean, you have to give your all into it. I have things that I do on the side, of course, just for like sanity. I've had a couple jobs just so I can pay bills and all of that, but your heart and your mind have to know what is up first. Otherwise you're not going to make it, because track and field does not care about you. You know, the next one who's coming with the best time or the best mark, that's who they're going to pay attention to. And if it's not you, it's not you.
Right. Very true.
You have to do it for the love.
You got to do it for the love. That's at the root of anything. Especially if you want to be great at anything, right? You got to have that, mm-hmm. that passion and remember the reasons why you do it. For you, Tori, how many sponsorships do you currently have?
My current sponsor is Wazo. They are a women's group, a women's apparel group out of Seattle. They've been great. It's a small company, so they really do feel like family. And I love everything that they've been able to do for me in this time of growth. And that's my main one at this point in time.
Gotcha. And you're currently training where right now?
In Chicago.
You're in Chi-Town, because I know you're from Illinois, right?
Yes.
From Chi-Town, and you're eyeing the Summer Olympics again. 2020 will be the next Summer Olympics out in Tokyo, July 24th through August 9th. Are you pretty confident that you're going to make that slate, Tori?
I am pretty confident, but I am not just banking on it. You know, things happen, and you have to keep driving for it. You have to stay hungry.
Without a doubt. All right, we'll be following you, and we definitely got to have you back on, especially as we approach the Summer Olympics. But we'll be following you again. Congratulations on that record set earlier this month. Tori Franklin, former MSU track and field triple jump phenom. Tori, good luck. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Always good chatting with Tori. She has such a positive vibe, Ian. And finally, you got her on the phone, man. Finally.
I've sent Drew Henderson an email. Hopefully we'll get that fixed by tomorrow, but it's something going on with line one, man. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is, but hey, we roll with the punches, right? We roll with the punches. All right, let's have our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, like we do each and every Thursday, by hitting you with Throwback Thursday.
Like we always do with this.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have less than 5 minutes left here in the hour, and each and every Thursday, we love to hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, there's a lot that happened on this particular date in sports. It is May 24th. Can you believe that we are right now approaching the end of the month and it's about to be June? Absolutely crazy. But a few dates I want to note here. On this day back in, let's go all the way back to 1878, the first American bicycle race was held in Boston. How about that? In 1918, Cleveland defeated the New York Yankees 3-2 in the 19th inning. Talk about a long game, right? In 1929, the Detroit Tigers defeated the Chicago White Sox 6-4 in 21 innings, if you thought that game wasn't long enough. On this day back in 1930, Babe Ruth hit home runs in both games of a doubleheader. The Babe, right? He was a great one. In 1940, the first night game at St. Louis's Sportsman Park was played. In 1950, Sweetwater, Nat Clifton's contract was purchased by the New York Knicks. Sweetwater played for the Harlem Globetrotters. In 1951, Willie Mays began playing for the New York Giants on this day. Back in 1962, the officials of the National Football League ruled that halftime of regular season games would be cut to 15 minutes. I'm curious to know how long they were prior to that. You don't need to rest up that much during the half, right? Also, in 1967, the AFL granted a franchise to the Cincinnati Bengals. So, on this day back in 67, the Bengals were born. In 1984, the Detroit Tigers. Oh, was that a good era or what for Detroit Tigers baseball back in the 80s? The Detroit Tigers won their 17th straight road game. In 1986, Montreal won its 23rd National Hockey League Stanley Cup Championship. In 1989, Lee Gutterman of the New York Yankees set a record for pitching 38 and two-third innings before giving up his first run of the season. Talk about being in a zone. 1989, the New York Rangers fired their general manager and coach, Phil Esposito. And in 1992, Vince, of note here, I'll just take it up to 1990 due to time, the Edmonton Oilers won their fifth National Hockey League Stanley Cup. And also on that same day back in 1990, the year I was born, Andre Dawson was intentionally walked five times during a game. A very eventful throwback Thursday. I love just hopping into that time machine and taking a look at what happened in sports history, because especially around this time of the year, you're talking about May, that's when so many different sports are going on when it comes to the NBA and the NHL, and then you have baseball just starting as well in the preliminary stages of the season. So there you have that. And I do just really want to make one brief comment concerning the NBA playoffs. How about Boston, right? How about Boston? I think LeBron James is in trouble. I chose Boston to win this series. This thing goes back to Cleveland. Again, we all know Boston just does not play well on the road. So we'll see what happens in Cleveland. But they have a great opportunity here to knock out the king, LeBron James, who has been carrying this Cleveland Cavaliers team on his back the entire season. He, you know, the supporting cast of LeBron went back to going non-existent yesterday at TD Garden. So we'll see what happens in that series. But I have more thoughts on that. And also, I am so excited about tonight's Western Conference Finals, Game 5. Usually, when you look at series in the NBA, Game 5 will tell you who's going to win the series, especially when things are tied, right? I mean, this series is 2-2, Golden State and Houston. Klay Thompson may have that, you know, that lingering knee injury. It's going to be a fun game tonight. We'll have a lot of chatter on that and so much more. Until then, we are taking a 23-hour break. Much love to all of you who tuned in, as well as our guest for today's current sports, Torrey Franklin, former Michigan State track and field triple jump phenom. Same time, same place tomorrow, folks. Until then, I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you to always be easy, people.